have a gaping hole in my mouth and I'm in a lot of pain. But salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam alaikum, Siti.
Welcome back, Pops. I'm just taking a look at the mic so I know what to do. Anyway, a surprise is coming soon. A surprise is coming soon. I don't know if anyone's going to understand. okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're going to do 40 Rules of Love Part 3 today.
Ya Allah.
I have more in me today. Like, I have more to say. Hopefully, I won't lose my train of thought like last time because I was so discombobulated.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's the first time. I was just telling Dad off camera. It's the first time that I don't get comments of, Layla, shut the f*** up. Like, you're that tired. And it's literally because I couldn't talk.
that's unfair for you, really.
It is unfair.
Yeah.
I'm a victim. I'm just joking. Imagine. No, I get it. You say a bajillion times more intense, deeper spiritual things than I could ever. Well, obviously, he's my mentor and he taught me what I know. So you can imagine that I'm a drop in the ocean that is his knowledge. I get it. I really do. I get it. But anyway, there will be a surprise coming soon where you can hear Baba ramble on for as long as you want.
Hopefully.
Fair enough? All right. Let's go ahead. I think we stopped at rule 11 last time. We did. So we're going to go into rule 12. Are you ready?
No.
Yeah? Okay. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of stars in the visible universe. Don't confuse power-driven, self-centered people with true mentors. A genuine spiritual master will not direct your attention to himself or herself and will not expect absolute obedience or utter admiration from you, but instead will help you to appreciate and admire her in herself. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. I'm like, Dad's ego is not gonna like this. But okay, it's not gonna like this. You're gonna claim you're like this and that you never refer to yourself. And I am calling BS min halla. But it's okay. I'm gonna repeat the rule again. I'm so sorry. Okay. Dad, you're gonna have to read it. I can't. Can you please read it?
What is the painkiller you are in?
I actually didn't take any today. But Baba, I'm so sorry.
I love the debu. Okay.
Read.
Bismillah. There are more fake gurus and false teachers in this world than the number of the stars in the visible universe. Do not confuse power-driven, self-centered people with the true mentors. A genuine spiritual master will not direct your attention to himself or herself and will not expect absolute obedience or utter admiration from you, but instead will help you to appreciate and admire your inner self. True mentors are as transparent as glass. They let the light of God pass through them. That is absolutely true.
It's so interesting because I think the teenager in me is fighting parts of it. Because when we were younger, mm-hmm. my siblings and I used to call my dad a megalomaniac. We did. True story.
Yes, you did.
Because you were such a know-it-all. And you did. But the thing is, can we discuss two parts of this? I'll just go from personal experience. The rule, fully agree. I just want to add a little addendum in our case because I also feel like you haven't heard this from us and you should, like as your kids. You did the best that you could with what you had at the time, with all the pressures. And you have always been a beacon of knowledge, always. You've always been spiritual, close to God. You've always tried to guide us in the right way. I think we also just tend to forget that, yeah, you're my dad, but you're also a man and you have your own journey to go on. And you were 30-something, 40-something with 40 years of history that I want to know about because we're selfish and it's just like, I'm the kid, you're the dad, just get it together. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that as a kid, I think I saw you as both, the true mentor and the false mentor, because I would be like, he's so my way or the highway, because you are. You, when we were younger, you were such a my way or the highway kind of dude. But it's at the same time, simultaneously, you were very, I'm just here to guide you. It's your life, it's your decisions, you do what you need to do. You make mistakes, I'm in the bleachers, just, I'll guide you, I'll pick you up when I need to. But so you know what I mean? It was such a hyphen of both. I think that's why I laughed. Because as a kid, forget the, like, put the spiritual journey on the side. As a kid, I was just like, oh, my dad's just such a know-it-all. He's so strict. He's so my way or the highway. But you were also very, a true mentor to the bone. Am I making sense?
You are making a lot of sense. And there is a very simple explanation for that.
Yeah.
Because what most of the time people do, especially children, especially your own children, is bargain with you on the concept itself.
Yeah.
And the virtue, and the virtue itself.
Yeah.
And that's where my stubbornness is. This is what is right. But then I give you the right, and I give you the innate privilege of making the mistake and not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But I will never come to you and tell you what you did is... I will not go to the rule itself, to the basic principle itself, and alter it for your sake.
Mm. Like, yeah, you were very non-negotiable with this.
Absolutely. This is, like, let me take, for example, can I ever tell you it's okay, prayer is not an important thing?
No, never. You never forced us to pray, but you never took away from the importance
Thank
of
you.
Prayer,
Thank
which
you.
I think in itself was the greatest hidden blessing, because you know how you take things for granted. Watching you pray, and you woke up for Fajr prayer religiously every day, and you never missed a beat. And you take that for granted, that you see someone wake up. But subhanAllah, it's the power of planting a seed. When we would question you about prayer, or have questions, or want to inquire more, you were always there with answers. Non-judgmental answers, simple, beautiful, easy, just the essence of what prayer adds into your life. And it was never a question of, yalla, go do it. You, and I find it so, it's almost the, what do they call it, reverse psychology. You were so nonchalant with it, and just so focused on yourself and your prayer, that you, at least for me, almost made me jealous. I was like, I want what he has.
And
why does he wake up and I don't wake up?
And that's how leading people works.
By example, yeah.
By example.
That's how you were to me, the mentor that they're talking about. It was just like in the quote, Bismillah, it says, true mentors are as transparent as glass. They let the light of God pass through them. And that to me, despite all what we've been through, because people always throw it in my face that, like, not everyone has a relationship with your dad. And if I said it once, I'll say it again. It took a lot to get to where we are today.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely.
But you did lead by example in a lot of things.
And Allah knows that I never claimed that I'm a mentor. And I do not see myself as one. I'm not qualified to be one. But I am a student of a mentor. And that by itself can be a connection.
Yeah.
That self can be a connection. Because some of that light might ooze.
Yeah.
I am not the main source of electricity, but I just have a small plug, which you can charge
your
mobile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And that's in itself is a blessing. If God enables you to become a conduit, which his wisdom or light passes through.
Alhamdulillah. That mirror. Alhamdulillah. You see, the thing is, going back to the principle of the guru, genuine gurus, they're never concerned about you giving them credit.
Yeah.
Or realizing how important they are.
Yeah.
And this, it shows. It shows. When my master used to tell me, if you go to a sheikh and all his people are well-dressed and they have almost a uniform and a style of doing this and that,
yeah.
run. Because it's all about the paraphilia and outside. This is not about building a cult.
Yeah.
You don't belong to me.
Yeah.
You belong to God. If I help you take one step towards, that's it.
Mm.
But then it's not about where are you from me?
Yeah.
How much obedience? How much preverence? How much? What I ask you to stand and you stand. I ask you to throw yourself and you run. I ask you to go.
Yeah. If I say jump, you say how high?
Yeah. How high? those are cults.
Yeah, they are cults, for sure.
And cults are very dangerous. Because each and every cult humanity have seen led to the grandiose of one individual.
Or just one head of that cult, yeah.
Or one individual and his group and his alliance and his family or whatever it is. We see it. It's very common nowadays, especially... Well, I don't want to point fingers, but there are many, many examples in our background and in the Christian faith.
I understand what you're saying.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
A guru has no interest in himself. And here the word guru means a spiritual leader.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, a guru is a syncret word.
Sacred?
Yeah.
It's
the old language that India.
Oh, Sanskrit.
Sanskrit.
Sanskrit. I thought you were saying. I thought you threw new vocab at me that I didn't know in front of my people. I was about to have a heart attack.
any mentor, any teacher is, and this, by the way, applies not only on the spiritual path, because knowledge. Especially practical knowledge, was always transferred through mentoring.
Awillah.
Think of it, sewing, being a tailor.
Yeah, it's like an apprenticeship.
Yes.
You learn from the master. Yeah, you learn from the person who has mastered that art or that specific craft.
Exactly.
I've always struggled understanding why people struggled with this concept of في ناس بهالدنيا مقامهم أعلى من مقامك. And they say it's like, عيب, how could you say something like this? But I've always struggled how people struggle to understand this because I find it so egotistical. How could you claim that you're the same as مثلا Sheikh Hamza Yusuf who went and lived in Mauritania with a master of Islam who speaks Arabi أحسن مني, who is born in an Arab land, like عيب علينا, do you know what I mean? And here comes a white man who represents Islam better than half of us could. And I struggled, and I'm very okay with saying, that's fine, he knows better than me. بالعكس, it's such a gift that I've discovered him so that I could learn from him. But people get so defensive, and they're just like, no, we're all the same. شوف فضلوا علي. But again, they said this about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, so why am I even surprised?
and that's the first sin.
استكبر وكامل الكافرين.
The first sin is refuse to see the privilege or whatever bliss and gift that the other is being given.
Yeah.
And why is he giving it? You have no say in that.
Yeah. I think one of the best gifts I've ever been given by God was the rude awakening to what I'm not good at. Recognizing what I just wasn't talented at, or wasn't my path, or wasn't my journey, as tough as it is, and as big of a hit to the ego as it is, it was the greatest opening to be like, okay, that's not for me. Now I can go find what actually belongs to me.
What is actually for me.
And that was such a gift, because once I found what belongs to me, and I found my why and my purpose, life makes more sense. Everything that led me to right here makes so much more sense.
If you understand what a guru, what a spiritual leader does to you on this realm, the dunya realm, and on the other realm, it just makes your journey easier and makes your trial and error less. If you have enough humbleness to obey and listen, and I lived with gurus. I actually had the bliss of being a mentor of one of the greatest for almost,
you mean a mentee, like he was your mentor?
He was my mentor for almost 40 years of my life.
And
I tell you, he never gave me an order. He never asked me do or not do. Do this for me or do... Never. Never. And it was all learning by example. It was all watching and listening and wanting to be just like, wow, there is something there that I, you know, you remember when you were young, I taught you something, that there are two ways we learn as humans.
Yeah, positive learning and negative learning.
Learning and negative learning. The positive learning is when you see someone doing something so good that it triggers that healthy envy inside you. Like, oh my God, I just want to be like that.
Like what I just said with you in the prayer.
Alhamdulillah. And the other one is the negative learning. When you see dumb, crooked people doing the wrong thing and you like, no.
And you go and you want to emulate that. There's a story about this.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you. And it's a common story. You see it online all the time. And I think even Donald Trump says he doesn't drink because alcohol killed his brother. So there's the story. Bismillah. There were two brothers, two siblings. And one of them is an alcoholic. And one of them is sober, refuses to touch alcohol no matter what. And someone came along and asked them, why do you drink? And they both had the same answer. Because I watched my father do it my whole life. So their father was an alcoholic. And the son who became an alcoholic, it was the negative learning. He saw mistakes, followed in those footpaths. And the other one is he saw the mistake and he said, I never want to be that. And stayed away.
Absolutely.
So subhanAllah, how you could... And I repeat this example all the time when I'm talking about people and Islam and this faith. I'm like, what's the difference between the person who saw something so beautiful and decided to internalize it and apply it onto their life, like seeing someone wake up for Fajr and is intrigued and is like, what is that? I want to know more about that. Or someone who sees it and goes like, stop acting like you're better than all of us. You know, and they have that defense and they just stay away from it. It's the same concept. Different stories. Energy is the same. Remains the same.
Absolutely. You know, in our journey of life, we might get maximum 5% of positive learning, maybe less. But if you see, because the majority of the examples outside are negative examples, it's the negative learning that you need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And there is plenty of it. There is plenty of it.
It's either learning from people's mistakes and not doing the same thing, or learning from people's not learning from people's mistakes and repeating the same thing.
Yes, yes.
So I agree.
You know, we tend to say common sense, common sense.
Not so common.
The reality is common sense is not that common.
Mm-mm.
Because if it is, it's very easy. It's almost, it takes no effort to see wrong.
Yeah.
And the percussions and the results of it. But why do we go and repeat it again and again and again? Because we lack common sense.
I just remembered something, and I've been thinking I need to tell you when I see you. Remember that, and that video went viral. Even Dr. Jill Stein, who was running for presidency, she liked that video, which was insane, because even one of my friends who works in politics in America, she messaged me. She's like, nah, bro, now you're influencing like influential people, like, which was crazy, subhanAllah. But anyway... it was the video about opinion is the lowest form of intellect.
Absolutely.
Okay, so wait. I'm clocking myself before someone 2 years down the line goes like, remember when you said this, it was wrong and we're canceling you. remember how I was like, it might be Socrates, it might be Plato. And then I was like, no, it can't be Plato because we don't like Plato.
It's Plato. It's fine.
So I'm just clocking myself before y'all come for me. But Bismillah, I have it. And I actually want to ask you. I have it. Ha. It is. It's Plato. Okay.
That's fine.
It's okay. It says opinion is really the lowest form of human knowledge. It requires no accountability, no understanding. The highest form of knowledge is empathy, for it requires us to suspend our egos and live in another's world. It requires profound purpose larger than the self kind of understanding.
Well,
this might be wrong.
Regardless. Where did it come from?
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Because I said this with Jordan Peterson. I don't like him no more. But you can't deny that he's changed a lot of lives. And a lot of what he said had a lot of substance. It's just hard to ignore it now. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I just reached the point where I can't. But it's not even I reached the point. You're the reason I'm like this. I can't separate the art from the artist. You refuse, for example, Alexander McQueen because he killed himself. You will never let us wear a piece of clothing with his name on it. Kate Spade, same thing. Any artist who's killed himself, we can't hang their painting or their...
Oh, I had an actual incident, actually. A friend of mine and a partner, Dr. Kunzi, you remember. I went to him. Bless him. I went to his home in Germany, and his wife is complaining from severe depression.
Yeah, I remember the story. Yes, yes, yes.
And there were two photos in the room, two paintings in the room, and he's very proud of them because he collected them on the Soviet era, when Germany was two Germanys.
Oh, Dr. Kunz is German, by the way.
And I immediately they gave me that heavy, heavy vibe.
Yeah, vibes.
And I said, what is this? And he said, those for this painter, very famous, she killed herself. I said, now they go. Now you remove them.
Why do we idolize people who killed themselves? It's a tragedy. I can't even imagine reaching that level. I can't imagine. But it's, why would I hang there? It just makes no sense to me.
We went out of the subject, but for a good reason.
Yeah, sorry.
It's actually a manifestation of the worst form of faith or lack of it.
Yeah.
And it's also a manifestation of lack of patience.
Actually, can I say something? It's not out of, it's not too far off, because I would argue, and this is where a lot of even the followers, God bless their souls, will send, who do I go to? And I've noticed it's the ones that are the most lost, who crave that guidance. They need a mentor. We've come full circle.
Absolutely. Everybody needs a mentor.
Everybody, without exception.
And everybody has a mentor, knowing it or not knowing it.
Facts.
Because you know, your mentor could be a rock and roll star, or could be a spiritual guidance, or could be... you cannot live
with... I'm not going to clock you.
Yeah, it's a because it's a form of prayer. It's a form of worship.
I worship. Agree. It is. I remember. I am going to clock you. I had a poster of the Beatles in my room, as a teenager, and my dad came, took one look at it, and said, take it down. And then it got out of my room, and I didn't take it down. So a few days later, this man comes back, looks at the poster, and looks me dead in the eye, and just walks to my poster, takes it out, rips it to shreds and pieces, confetti rains it on me, and walks out of the room.
it takes a lot to protect your children and maintain their personality, because, you know, it's a fine line between allowing them to grow and allowing them to grow in the most possible healthy way you can.
I get it. It's that dance of, I need to do my job as a dad, but I also need to take a step back and let my child be an individual. I get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because? Yeah.
Because
most of the time, we go back to the principle we started with.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, the child is kind of bargaining with you. You want to see how far you can change your principle.
Oh, a child is like your toxic partner.
Very much.
They will test you to see when you push back. Sure.
That's why toxic partners are childish.
Yeah. What did you tell me? No one's as narcissistic as a child? Something.
Yes,
is that you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
We move on?
Yes.
Now, one of my all-time favorite rules, rule number 13, and an interesting story, 13 is my favorite number.
It's actually a good number.
It is a good number, and I'll tell you why. Number 13 is my favorite number, always has been. And then people just go like, oh, it's so unlucky. That is a very Western thing, because Friday the 13th, I can't say it?
Yeah, you can say it.
Am I allowed to say this?
Of course.
Okay.
It's history.
It is history. So the reason the number 13 is an unlucky number, and why it's my favorite number, is not... No, actually, I need to say that again. Sorry. The reason the number 13 is an unlucky number has nothing to do with Islamic history. In fact, it's the absolute opposite.
Absolutely.
And when I found out the true story, I was like, no wonder it's my favorite number. It's the day Salah ad-Din took back Jerusalem from the Christians, from the Crusaders. It is Friday the 13th. That's why Yom al-Jum'ah, Friday, is a blessed day in Islam. And the number 13, a blessed number for us people.
It's just a number.
And it is a number. It is. I know you'll say it's just a number. But everyone has a favorite color, a favorite number. Don't take this away from me.
Yeah. I'm not taking it. Do you know what is the most negative number in the Chinese background?
13. No, 4.
Four.
Mm. Beyonce's birthday.
Yeah, and it also
all, I don't like Beyoncé.
The Japanese don't like the number four.
Really?
Oh yes.
Now, I know the Chinese don't like the number four.
And I think they have this thing of not never giving four roses to someone because it's a very bad omen.
Probably. Mm. All right. Can I read rule number? Anyway, it's rule 13, and it's one of my favorite numbers in the world. It is my favorite number. Whew, okay. And this is one of my favorite quotes of all time. Okay. Try not to resist the changes which come your way. Instead, let life live through you and do not worry that your life is turning upside down. How do you know that the side you are used to is better than the one to come? This quote has gotten me through the depths of hell, because I used to look at the depths of hell like this is the end. What's the point in living? Why am I even trying?
I think if people just write this quote,
yeah,
and dip it in water and take it as an anti-anxiety, it might work, because this quote is the actual cure for anxiety.
Yeah, this is وَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ
وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You know,
but there's what's the remainder of that ayah, Baba Bismillah? And but basically, it's وَعَسَى أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ
وَعَسَى أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْءٌ
وَهُوَ إِيش
شَرٌ لَكُمْ
شَرٌ لَكُمْ. So the continuation of that is, oh, so for people who don't understand, وَعَسَى أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, and perhaps you love something. No, and perhaps you hate something, excuse me, and it is good for you. And the continuation of it is, and perhaps you love something, and it is sharun lakum, it is harmful, evil. Yeah.
Because our al-mahabba hina, yani the word love here, means liking.
Yeah.
And that's usually is done by what? By our ego.
Yeah.
Which very short-sighted.
Yeah. And it has a sense of attachment to it, which is no bueno. Yes. In Islam, you shouldn't be attached to anyone but Allah.
Anxiety is a process where you want to control the variances around you. Because you don't want variances, you don't want changes. You have this silly, childish, myopic, shallow idea of how things should run.
Yeah.
And now I want them just to go exactly how I want them to go. Otherwise, I'm gonna scream and fight with God.
I read a quote somewhere that said something along the lines of, most of you guys wouldn't even know what to do once you get what you prayed for. Yep. And that hit me, because I was like, how many times have I gotten what I prayed for and I ruined it? Because I was not mature enough, humble enough, or even equipped with the knowledge to understand the magnitude of receiving what you prayed for. That's a miracle. Do you understand? When you just pray for something and you find it at your doorstep, and the human ego is the most fragile monster in the world, and boom, self-sabotage. The amount of and I didn't know what to do with a good thing, even if it hit me in the face. Subhanallah.
Have you seen how a borderliner, for example, reacts when they get what they want? Or children, when they, especially hyperactive children, when they get what they've been screaming for days? There is this void, silence, disorientation, loss. Like, what am I going to make a scene about now?
Oh, don't even worry about them. They'll find something.
And they will.
Oh, yeah. But this, I'm going to read it again. Try not to resist the changes which come your way. Instead, let life live through you and do not worry that your life is turning upside down. How do you know that the side you are used to is better than the one to come? I love this quote so much.
This boils down to a very simple, basic concept of reality. Let go of resistance.
Yeah, Islam, surrender.
Allah. Let go of resistance. Allow things to happen.
Yeah.
I just had a very simple incident two days ago.
With me?
No. In my simple little, alhamdulillah, growing business. You know, one of the banks we deal with.
May I have some water? I'm so
sorry. Oh, please.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, go on. One of the banks you deal with.
Transferred twice certain amounts in our account.
Alhamdulillah.
And we have, because we do sales, we have transfers happening all the time.
Yeah.
3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
So we didn't notice that this bank transferred around 11,000 in our account in two different... suddenly the bank noticed that now we are the thieves. we are the bad ones because we took the money from the bank. We did not. They asked us, and we went through the record, and we found there were two transfers, and we acknowledged it. No, we want it now with interest. We want the money now with whatever.
Yeah.
We didn't ask for it. And taking it once suddenly like that might affect the cash flow that we have for the end of the month. Hmm. Can you? No. See, the reaction of people around me was
panic.
Mm. And my reaction is like, I didn't ask for this. It happened. Let's just see how it resolves itself.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's just see how it resolves itself. Even the figures I said are not accurate figures. It's different. But it's the situation is accurate.
Yeah.
Let's just see how the situation resolves itself. And I promise you it will.
Yeah.
Because things happen for a good reason. And it just teaches you, regardless how much you plan, how much you think you're smart, things work their own way. I'm not asking you not to put the work into the situation. Mm. Do.
But with what intention and what energy?
Yes. And if changes come beyond your never.
Fight it?
Never. I had this mug which I really adore because it was given to me.
By me?
Mm.
The one with the K?
Yeah. And it's one of those mugs. I drink my coffee almost every day with it. And then suddenly my new, one of my staff knew. He nicely took it to wash it and it fell down and he broke it. And he came shaking. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's fine. No, sir, but I broke it. Yeah, that's fine. Things happen. These things happen. They fall down. And that's why they called housewares.
They have a shelf life. Like they have a life.
They have a life. And that's a hadith, by the way.
It is. I was going to say, I don't know if it was a Muslim thing or an Arab thing.
It's a hadith.
But let me translate because a lot of our audience is ajnabi. Sorry to interrupt you, Dad. But we have a saying in, what is the hadith? Do you know it?
The meaning of the hadith is your home.
You told me the story once. I remember
they have lives like your lives.
Yes.
Suddenly their life ends. They fall. They break.
Yeah.
So you need to accept this with dignity and not to react.
We also say "kasar al-sharu, akhad al-sharu rah." So when something breaks, we always say it took the evil juju, bad energy away. So that's why whenever I break anything, I drop a glass, I'm just like, okay, took the shot. Even the new camera I bought yesterday, while we were mounting it, I scratched the bottom. And it's just the bottom. Like, imagine if it was just like a little scratch here. It's not even on the lens or anything. And my friend literally looked at me and he was like, ردت عين, let it. He's like, it took away bad energy. He's like, let it. Just let it take away bad energy.
And nothing more insane and reflects lack of maturity than objecting to that what already happened.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Tell me.
Honestly, what are you going to do about it? It's done. It's khalas. It's happened. I think also for me, this quote... Sorry, did I interrupt you? Okay. I think also for me, this quote, what I've realized is... And I wanna phrase this the right way. About not having resistance and not fighting what's happening, because how do you know what is to come isn't better than where you are now? And if I said it once, I'll say it a million times, but when I look at the trajectory of my life and I look at how, thank God things didn't go my way, because I wouldn't be where I am today. Thank God things happened the way they were, despite of me, all of it, right? Once you really grasp and understand what this means, it gets to the point where even if I showed you the journey that you're going to go through and the hell that you'll have to endure and the trenches that you'll have to crawl through, but you saw what God had in store for you at the end of that road, you would catapult through this journey. You would beg for it. You wouldn't fight it. You would actually be like, yeah, I'm ready. Give it to me. Let's go. But the thing is, people need to see the end results. They have to see it physically in this realm because the ego needs the reassurance, but they won't allow themselves to open up their third eye and see the end result that God has already promised. And this is promised in every religion, in every book, in every any one of the Abrahamic religions you open, there's always a promise that God's got your back no matter what. So the end result is always just God's got you.
By objecting to what life throws at you.
Did I make sense? When you don't respond to what I said and you just go into something else, I'm like, did I say something stupid?
Or the child in you needs assurance?
Oh, let me tell you, side note. Can I tell you what I've learned? I 1,000% need reassurance.
Yeah, Habibi.
No, 1,000%. And I'm not shy about it anymore.
You did amazing.
I'm just a girl and I need reassurance.
Absolutely. You did very well.
Thank you. Now, you may proceed.
By objecting to what life throws at you, you are actually denying yourself the pleasure and the bliss of living life itself.
Yeah.
Because regardless how much you object, how much you like it, regardless what rules you come with, regardless what intricate plannings your computer throws at you, life would take its path, its course. And variance and this, you want to call it chaos?
Mm.
Call it chaos. Is an integrated part of your life.
Mm.
You will deny yourself life by trying to fix life.
Yeah, because you're with anxiety. It's your focus on the future, right?
So yes.
You're not enjoying your life because you're focused about what could be.
What could be?
Yeah, but this is, listen. To be fair, I get it. All of my friends, everyone I know is always like, oh, I have anxiety. And it blows my mind. It blows my mind how people have really succumbed to this idea that, adi, I have anxiety and it is what it is and it be what it do. And I'm just like, why? How do you enjoy anything, you know? I'm generally speaking not an anxious person anymore, but I was. I have moments now, sure, but I was an anxious mess.
It's about awakening and training. Just a bit of awakening and training.
Yeah, but you told me something. This is what I was trying to get to. You told me something when I was, I want to say 18, 19. I had just gone into university before I dropped out. Again, no qualifications here. right before I dropped out. And I was going through university and just, you know, the whole coming of age nonsense. Beautiful nonsense, but nonsense nonetheless when you look back at how you let people affect you. And the amount of anxiety that I had, and you just looked at me and you're like, imagine the worst possible thing that can happen. The worst thing that could happen. Because you're having so much anxiety about the situation, right? So I want you to imagine the worst thing that could happen. I was like, okay. He's like, and then what? He's like, you were like, and then what? And I was like, I don't know. You're like, how does it happen?
Accept it.
That's it, just accept it. And then you also added, 9 times out of 10, the worst case scenario rarely ever happens. And when it's happened in your life, you're here, you've overcome it. Every word you said was true. It just took a hot minute for it to really sink in. And by a hot minute, I mean years.
Subhanallah, we hardly talk about anything and I don't see it in Quran. I refrain sometimes from overquoting.
No, overquote.
إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه.
Yeah.
See, this idea of scaring, and because what is anxiety? It's a form of fear. And you need to, the more you associate yourself with the negative, the more you are associating with Shaitan and his influence on you. إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه. Do you want to be a wali? A wali is your intimate close friend.
Yeah.
You want to be associated as an intimate close friend to Shaitan and just and of that horrible negative black source of energy and allow it to ruin your life, fine and well. Or just go and enjoy this bliss of this amazing gift.
Yeah.
Let it go up, let it go down.
Yeah.
Because you have no control on that.
Yeah.
What you have control on is this moment. Do your best. You see, again, the small brain will come. What are you telling me? Not to plan, not to think, not to... You see, as a matter of fact, I'm asking you for exactly the opposite of that. I'm asking you to pursue ihsan, perfection.
Yeah.
In everything you do.
Yeah.
Which is not just do. No, take it to the maximum of doing, to the best of doing. Be a manifestation, be a representative of your creator. Because in this dunya, you are, you've been put on this dunya to represent God.
I saw a video, because you mentioned the devil. So I'm going to put the devil on blast. Ato, my friend sent me a video. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, okay.
Devil only hear what you say. God only know what you think.
Say it one time, brother.
The devil only know what you hear. God only know what you think. That's why.
He said the devil only hears what you say and God only knows what you think. That's why people will lie to you with sweet words. And you'll notice con artists are what? Ted Bundy was what? Charismatic, smooth. Words can be so powerful, especially when someone is a charmer or has a sweet tongue. But God only knows your intentions. And when you build that relationship with God, why is it that you have the ability to spot a con artist or a liar? It's not that they told you I'm a liar, but that energy. Even if they're saying the thing you want, you've been praying to hear your entire life. But that low frequency, that energy, that vibe, you catch it. So I just thought that video was so powerful. God only hears what you think. The devil only hears what you say. You know? That's why when you're praying, when it's just you and Allah, no one can hear you. Especially when you wake up for Fajr. Like you, when you used to wake up for Fajr, not used to, still do. But when we'd be sleeping, you know what I mean? Me, Zimo, Shireen, Mom, everyone's in their bedroom fast asleep. And you silently wake up every day. And you have this thing where it's crazy. You could open and close a door, no one hears you.
Oh, wow.
And you were so strict with us about, like, Layla, when I walk through this house, do you hear my footsteps? Do you hear me close a door? Do you hear me open a cupboard? I'm like, no. He's like, why can I hear you? Why can I hear you from the living room? I was like, damn, okay.
It's one of the signs I see with people. And I know that they are not awakened.
Yeah, because you're not aware of yourself. Yes. You're like an elephant in a trinket shop. And you're just in a little, what do they call it? Those little ceramic trinkets. J'oublie toujours le nom. But anyway, you're like that, just not aware of the space that you're taking up. Which is why, also, side note, I'm so against this take up space that they tell you. Like, in America, they're so
actually,
like,
you should take the least amount of space and you should have the least amount of imprint in anything around you except good imprint.
Thank you. Also, just to prove that point on a different scale, some of the richest people in the world, when they walk into a restaurant, you'd think he's just a truck driver. Because he's in jeans and a black shirt, walks in with a watch that's so expensive, no one would even know what it is. You would think it's a Swatch. Do you know what I mean? And they don't take up space. And they go in and they sit in the corner and they walk back out. But it's the loudest people.
Can I say a story?
Yeah, go for
it. Of my old days.
Are you going to say the plane and the first class flight?
Worse when you're in economy? Even more than that.
Yeah.
I used to walk in very simple, poor areas. I like that. And I have in my wrist a watch. You know, I wore a watch once, which is almost $100,000+. And I was very okay with it because when people will tell me, oi, nice watch, I said, you can buy similar from Kuala Lumpur streets for $10. Give me $20, I'll give this to you. Huh? No.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't imagine that a man with this aura and this simplicity will be wearing something more than $20 in his hand. This simplicity kind of kept me relatively protected. I didn't bother.
Do you know who wants to be like that? Zimo. I was on the phone with him yesterday, and we're just talking about our dreams and stuff, and God bless his soul. He's just telling me like how proud he is. And we were talking about this podcast and he was saying, I love that you do it with Baba. He was like, because if there's one thing about Dad is that he has that ihsan. He will make sure that you're saying the best that you could say. He'll make sure that you're representing your faith and this family and the upbringing in the best way possible. And he's right. You clock me. If I say something not in the right way, you'll be like, no, you can say that more eloquently. Do it again. You know what I mean? And he was saying it as a compliment, yani, in the best way. But he was saying that he just wants to be so incognito. He, like, there's this hedge fund billionaire called Bill Ackman or something. And most people wouldn't even know about him because he's so hidden and behind the scenes. And Zimo was just saying, I want nothing, which is why he stopped writing music, if you remember. He's like, I'm very cautious of the imprint I'm going to leave in the world. He's like, when I die, what am I going to tell my God? I wrote rap songs?
Allah seems that I did something right after all.
You did something right. But he's like, I think he gets that from you. He wants to be very behind the scenes. And he was telling me on the phone, he's like, Leila, for as long as I can remember, ever since we were kids, he's like, you wanted to be known. He's like, and not in a bad way. He's like, you just wanted to have friends and share stories and share experiences and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. I was like, but subhanAllah, the day that I resolved it, Baini wa Bain Hali, that I would never be in front of the camera, this happened. And it was very much by accident, which is crazy.
Alhamdulillah, it's...
But yeah, but anyway, my point is Zima wants to be like that.
I would advise most people to be like that. I you know, the more you try to stand out because you're craving attention and the dumber you look.
Look dumb.
I saw a small reel of an elder man in his late 60s talking about a car that he has. It's I think it's Miami, and the man says that, oh, when I drive, all the heads turn around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, is that what you got out of living 70 years on this world, on this dunya? You want heads to turn around to look at you?
Yeah, some people are like this. So I will say, even with, I think I've said this before, but even with me in this podcast, you humbled me real quick, real fast. I remember you said, and you have an idea of what this is and where it will go, and I love hearing it from you, because I would love to be like the best of the best with this, just because, not for, I don't even say not for me, I'm still young, obviously I have an ego, but for the Islam, you know what I mean, for the imprint that I leave, because I have a huge fear of, and this is the first time in my life, of the imposter syndrome, just because of the magnitude of what it is that we're doing. When people DM me, when people approach me, I'm like, bro, I'm a liar. Because I don't think I'm perfect, right? To be self-aware is to know the darkest thought you've ever had. It's to genuinely know your vices, you know? And I'm very aware of mine. I'm very aware of the darkest thought I've ever had. I'm very aware of my vices. I know when I'm lying. I know when I'm like, I'm bakzib al hali. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm aware of it. I'm not stupid. And then when people will approach me, I just have this moment of, no, but...
Again, let's go to the guru thing.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we trying to sell to the world that we
are
a perfect example, and please come and just be like us and exactly like us?
No.
No.
That's not my point.
Okay, tell me.
My point is, and it's not even about that. My point is, you know how you're... Actually, let's go back to the conduit with the guru.
Yeah.
How we were saying, if you're a vessel, and for some reason that I am just grateful for and I shan't question, God has used me as a vessel right now. Us, for this podcast, you know what I mean? And to me, I actually am really grateful for it, because I sometimes am so overwhelmed by having been blessed enough to have a dad like you to be able to know what I know, because I'm ma الفرق بيني وبين الناس إلا رحمة الله عليه, right? And to me, this is almost like the way of saying thank you. This is passing it forward, paying it forward. Does that make sense?
Very much.
So, but even through the paying it forward, sometimes I'm like, why me? Like, why have I been lucky enough to have this, to be able to speak this way and share these messages? But then I'm also like, don't question it, just be grateful, because...
Just be grateful.
Yeah, I know. Just be grateful. But anyway, I just have these moments sometimes where I'm like...
Alhamdulillah, whew. It's this seed of ihsan. It's just, whatever it is, you know, put your best intention of it and put your best attention at it.
Yeah.
And see it go through.
Yeah. I wanted to say something, but I can't remember about you saying certain things about this podcast.
Oh, it subhanAllah, it was like what is the right word in English? Epiphany. Mm-hmm. I saw this and I saw where it is gonna go. And from the very, very beginning, and I told you, if you remember, this is the way you go. And alhamdulillah, you took that message and reflected it in a very honorable way.
I remembered what I was going to say. Yes, based on that. So you have a vision and a kind of khalas of like where you see this going, bismillah. And I remember when this podcast started blowing up, you looked me dead in the eye and you were like, watch it. if it goes to your head, if you mess up, if you use this to your advantage in a negative way, in any sense, God will take it away from you like this. And it's not because Allah is evil or doesn't want what's best for you. It is actually because He loves you and wants what's best for you. He will crush your ego because He cares about you too much. He'll crush your ego in this dunya so you can enjoy the afterlife.
Absolutely. You're not, you have no, there is no, how to say it? There is no trading when it comes to this.
Yeah.
There's no
trading. I love that so much that you, because it was really a moment where I was like, wow, my dad loves me so much and he's showing me how much God loves me. God will take everything away from me if I take it for granted because He loves me. Because بخاف على روحي. Because my soul is too precious to ruin with this dunya.
What is the use of you passing and you left, I don't know how many trillion zillion behind you and a whole pile of bad legacies.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with the wealth? And I'm still, I'm asking you, strive, do your best to be wealthy. But before that and with that, enhance your moral and spiritual wealth. That's combination what makes you.
We said this last time. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Do we move on to another? I don't know if we have time, actually.
I don't think we have time.
We don't have time.
It's already 4:06.
Excuse me. I'm in pain.
Bismillah alaykum.
But I feel like we did well.
Alhamdulillah. Maybe enough so you can go take your painkiller.
I don't want to let people know. Don't take painkillers. I have a dry socket. If you get a dry socket, take a painkiller.
You have to. There's no option.
But غير هيك no painkillers. I'm very anti-big pharma. But I think we're good. And they're about to come tell us our time's up. How much time do I have left? 10 minutes. Thank you. God bless you.
Then let's take one more point.
If you want to do one more? Okay, yeah. We can do one more. Okay. Bismillah. All right, rule 14. There's 40 of these. God is busy with the completion of your work.
Allah.
God is busy with the completion of your work, both outwardly and inwardly. He is fully occupied with you. Every human being is a work in progress that is slowly but inexorably... I'm not crying and ruining my makeup like last time. Bismillah. I'll ruin my shirt. Again, just a girl. Okay. Rule 14. God is busy with the completion of your work, both outwardly and inwardly. He is fully occupied with you. Every human being is a work in progress that is slowly but inexorably moving toward perfection. We are each an unfinished work of art, both waiting and striving to be completed. God deals with each of us separately because humanity is fine art of skilled penmanship, where every single dot is equally important for the entire picture.
I don't think we will give this point fair if we
squeeze
it in the last few minutes. Let's start with it next time. This is really, really beautiful. And it's as all of those points, a reflection of a divine wisdom. But what I could say is, if you ever think that you're paying attention to God and worshipping Him, when you're worshipping Him, wait till you realize the attention He pays to you.
Yeah.
And you see it. And you just see a bit of it. And it dissolves you. It melts you down. Because you would think that you are the God and He is the worshipper.
Yeah.
See, it's amazing. Because what is worship? It's paying attention. You paying attention to whom? To someone who never removed His attention from you.
Never. I said this before.
So who's, in reality, who's paying attention to whom?
I said this before. I said how, and I think I'm really happy you brought it up again. Because I think I wasn't filming with you. And I had mentioned that I had this rude awakening. That my relationship with Allah never changed because of Him. it's strictly, solely, and only ever changed because of my trepidation, because of my back and forth, because of my ego, because of my lack of commitment and consistency towards him. Every time I go back to him, زي التوتو crawling back to him, there, as magnificent, as strong, as loving as ever. Nothing but me changes. I am the one who wavers because Abd Maskeen, what do? You know?
And
but he doesn't.
He doesn't. Jalla wajhuhu. And we think we worship.
Yes.
And we think we pay attention.
Yeah, we really don't.
Alhamdulillah. We really don't. May we keep it here, but we start with the same point next time.
Sounds good, Habibi. Thank you so much. We have a surprise coming soon. Will you ever be on camera?
No.
Never?
Never.
Like, khalas, no point in bringing this up. No, okay. Please, but I'm good with you not being on camera because I don't want you to push
I'm just having
you.
Mercy on your audience. Why would they just look at an old...
You're beautiful. I thought you were going to make a different joke. Dad used to have one hair that grows here, and he used to, like, whenever we'd come and want to pluck it, he'd, like, brush it, like, like tangled. He'd be like, no. Then people was like... I thought you were going to make that joke.
Well, you want to tell them that I'm also funny sometimes?
I don't think you have a great
sense
of humor.
Thank you.
Zima and I were talking about this on the phone. I'm like, Dad thinks he's funny. He's not.
I am hilarious.
No, I'm hilarious. Do you know who actually has a great sense of humor? Your ex-wife. And I know what you're going to say. Never saw it. I know. But Mom has a wicked sense of humor. That woman is funny. Unlike you.
Okay.
Yeah.
My ego is smashed.
It's okay. Anyway, we have a surprise coming soon. I think next time you see us.
Maybe. Ya Allah.
Next time. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Dad, thank you a million for being here. I really loved today's episode. I think it was great, and I think it makes up for last time. Don't come at me for interrupting Baba.
No. This is the way it is. I intentionally make her talk more.
Okay, thank you. So don't come for me. I think you heard a lot. Okay. Bas, thank you so much. I'm excited to film again.
Thank you.
And love you.
Love you too, Baba. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's a wrap.
Alhamdulillah.